The Planter's Place podcast is brought to you by Osmocote, the planter's plant food.
Hi, I'm Marcy Martin, your rosarian here at plantersplace.com. And I'm going to tell you a story now about the mischief that goes on when you and your husband sneak away for vacation. This blog is entitled Murder in the Rose Garden. We returned home this past Monday night after spending 10 lovely days out on Cape Cod with our rose friends, family, and also by ourselves. Tuesday morning, I went out back to water and nearly twisted my ankle because the backyard was full of runways or tunnels. I knew immediately what had happened. Because there had been no activity for days on end out in the yard, the voles had moved back in. I started watering the gardens. It's still bone dry here, and even the trees are wilted. I noticed that in some spots under the rose bushes, my watering wand sank 6 or 7 inches into the ground. The voles are moving back in for the winter. I met some face-to-face for the first time last fall. I was pushing a wheelbarrow full of firewood to the back porch when I must have squashed one of their runways. 6 or 7 of the little critters literally spit out of the ground, all of them scolding me with surprisingly loud squeaks. Over the winter, they were very busy. They went over the sill in the garage and stripped all the bark off my potted roses on low shelves waiting for spring. The exposed white cambium layer totally dehydrated and the roses were as dead as posts. I could see the tiny tooth marks on what was left, and in some cases they chewed right through the shank below the bud union in the pot. What was left looked a lot like my grandfather's whittling on a stick. Now when I speak to garden clubs, I bring one of these murdered roses along with me. It could double as one of Rudolph's antlers at Christmas time. When it was time for spring pruning this year, I found out that they had been busy in some of the rose gardens, too. It's a really odd sensation when you touch a rose cane and the whole bush falls over because it's been chewed through underneath. Zephyrin Druin, a lovely old garden climber from 1868, towered to about 20 feet in my rose garden and would have gone over the roof this year. Her shank was 3 to 4 inches in diameter below ground, and they chewed right through it. It really hurt to take her to the dump. That's when my murderous thoughts began to take shape. I went and got my antique hay fork and started to stab the soil all over the gardens, hoping to impale some on the sharp stiletto tines. I stomped around, stabbed and stabbed, and basically just exhausted myself. I then remembered that I had once used a small animal repellent, and the basic ingredient was garlic oil, so I went to the local dollar store and bought 10 bottles of dehydrated minced garlic and seasoned all the gardens with it. I bought a product with ground slate and castor oil in it and liberally salted it all around. The theory is that the castor oil gets on their fur and gets ingested while grooming. It then gives them the fatal runs, and they dehydrate and die underground. They literally become fertilizer. I like that idea. To make a long story short, I haven't seen any vole activity in the gardens all summer until now. What are voles anyway? People confuse voles with moles, and I'm here to set the story straight. Moles are carnivores. They eat earthworms, grubs, and pupating insects in the soil. Moles can grow rather large and have well-developed hands and powerful shoulders for digging and pushing up soil. Their runways or tunnels often look like small volcanic eruptions with piles of soil deposited at the surface. Moles are blind and spend almost all their time below the surface. Moles hibernate for the winter in the root systems of large trees. Voles, or meadow mice, are herbivores. This means they gorge on our prize bulbs, plants, roses, shrubs, and trees. They are not blind, but are tunnelers like moles, and if they can manage, they'll take over abandoned mole tunnels. We had no trouble with moles or voles until our neighbors decided to put in a new driveway. All the noise and soil vibrations sent them packing right onto our property. Voles kind of look sort of like miniature hamsters. They have short tails, small ears set back on their heads, and eyes to see with, and they will come above ground. Their runways are smaller and less destructive than mole tunnels, which causes a problem because they're more difficult to see. They like setting up their runways along some kind of a barrier, wooden garden edging like I have, foundations, stone walls, you get the idea. Their favorite diet in the wintertime is bark underground. They girdle trees, shrubs, roses. They really loved my prized oriental lilies, too. Voles do not hibernate. They forage for 4 hours and sleep for 4 hours, round the clock, 365 days a year. The females start to reproduce at between 30 and 40 days of age and have another litter of pups every 21 days for the rest of their lives. Each litter is between 6 and 12 babies. Tiny critters, folks, but a formidable foe. It's really easy to get overrun with these guys before you even realize you have a problem. The best way to be rid of these subterranean aliens is still a really good house cat. I have two, the little traitors. I'm always catching them hunting at my neighbor's house. This is the time of year to chase them out of the garden, so I just bought some spikes to put in the gardens that make thumping noises and also are supposed to be ultrasonic repellents. You can also mix up peanut butter and oatmeal and bait mouse traps with that. You then put the mouse trap near a runway air hole. These are about the size of a quarter. Put a flower pot over the trap and weight it down with a brick or a large rock and wait for the snap. I'll let you know how things work out. This is war. And obviously, it's time to re-educate my kitties. Till next time, I'm Marcy Martin for Planter's Place.
To learn more from our gardening experts, join the community at plantersplace.com. And be sure to like Osmocote Plant Food on Facebook. Thanks for tuning in to the Planter's Place podcast.